What's up, guys? Welcome to Rice and Beans. Big O and Jester are in the house, and we've got a special guest with us. Say what's up to the Project GS. What's up, dude?
What up? I feel like I'm supposed to clap or something. It's a little strange. I'm not going to lie, but I'm feeling good today. Thank you for inviting me down here. So I don't know if you guys can see it in the camera, but this studio, it's a home studio, but it's pretty amazing. Like, it's legit. It's like legit. Just, you know, pick some trash up off the floor, get like some some girlfriend or wife to, like, you know, tidy it up, add some floral arrangement and everything. And this studio would be like, you know, you can get like Snoop Dogg down here next week. It's legit. I'm not kidding with you. So
the trash adds to the ambiance. We're gonna keep it.
I guess you are right there. It has that studio but / man cave vibe. So you just can't be bringing women down here because you can't, like, you know, show it off and, you know.
Yeah, sure we can. We got the casting couch right over there.
Yeah, right behind me. That's how we put it in.
Yeah, okay.
We're gonna design a studio. What's the first thing we need? Oh fuck, we need a casting couch.
Second thing we need is a gynecologist table.
you go a little farther, huh? That's a little. But nah, you got.
That's
the
what the
Wu-Tang couch.
Table's for.
Yeah. So yeah, no, it's been a work in progress, but yeah, I know because I did music for so long. You know, primarily it was like a music studio, and then. You know, about 5 years ago, we started doing the podcast. And so I'm like, well, fuck, man, I got all this gear. May as well use it. And so that's when we started using it for podcasting. And now, like, you know, as we just kind of keep adding to it over the years, now, like, we have, like, oh, now we can do this season. Or, like, we can do this this season. Like, we got our intro this season, like, the video intro.
That's how it gets bad. Like, you start small. Like, hey, it's like a hobby. And next thing you know, you're, like, buying, like, $1,000 equipment. Like, just all this is a mic stand. Like $1,000 mic stand, but it's like the best mic stand in the industry, and that's why you should never pick up any hobbies, right?
Yeah.
You start small, and then eventually you're like it's a full-on job at that point.
Screw that. Yeah. We go behind Capitol Records and rummage through their trash.
Hey, that's not a bad idea, actually. I've been trying to do that. So I used to work at mini studios over my life. I'm not gonna name anything, so I might implicate myself on something, but you know, they get rid of a lot of stuff, right? They just like buy new mics, like they buy those $1,000 microphones, so that $300 microphone they have that's from the 70s, they just like, oh, just throw it in the trash. Oh yeah sure, no, I'm just gonna pull these box and I'm gonna walk them out to the trash, and you know, you're just like, oh, okay something here's gotta be useful, right?
Sure they safely get there.
Yeah, exactly. So I have picked some stuff up over the years, and But it's not like this, though. Like this is legit. I'm not going to lie.
Well, so. I mean, you put it in the trash, it's trash, right? Yeah. And then from there, anything happens.
Exactly. So,
yeah. And it's funny because, like, some of the pieces, like, you know, doing music, like, I shared a rehearsal space with some other guys. One of them was just in here. We did a Rice and Beans radio, and he came through. But I remember we talked about me buying equipment off of him and then him buying the same equipment back. And then, like, it was like I needed one. He wasn't using it, so I bought an amp from him. And then, like, a little while later, like, I got another amp, and I wasn't really using it too much.
Yeah.
And then his amp took a shit, so that he bought it back from me. And so then, like, I needed it for, like, something else, like, some gigs that we were going to do. He wasn't using it again, so I bought it. Like, I think it changed hands, like, 4 times. And so... Gosh. But yeah,
you might as well, don't even buy it. Just might as well consider like a communal amp. Like,
yeah,
and you're just giving each other loans. Like, the amps just happen to be like a formality for a loan, basically.
Yeah, it was just like, here in case you fucking break my shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Sounds like a groupie from the 70s.
Oh man,
Oh, the good old days.
Man, I'm not from the 70s. You guys from the 70s?
No. I missed it by 2 years.
2 years?
I was young at the time, but I grew up through the 70s, early 80s.
So I'm an 80s kid. I was born 84.
Oh, 84,
so, damn,
yeah.
I'm kind of old, but speaking of the 70s, this is just a random thought I had the other day, but cause the 70s is when Star Wars came to be.
Yeah, 78.
So everyone before that, like, you could imagine, like, because we grew up in a world where Star Wars was a thing, right?
Right.
Ever since I was a kid, there was Star Wars movies, toys, commercials. You know, I knew Luke Hamill. Like, Luke Hamill's in my memories, but you got to understand that before the 70s, none of that existed. Can you imagine in a world where, like, someone's like, dude, I had this cool idea for a movie, right? There's going to be, like, these wizards, but they have, like, these light swords, right? Like, they glow, and they're going to be, like, having wizard fights with magic, And then there's like this giant army, and instead of horses, they're going to be flying like these kind of like airplanes and like these giant boats, but they're going to be like in space. It just sounds insane, because like we had just gotten to the moon like 7 years before that. I mean, we knew all that stuff existed. Well, okay. If you believe you got to the moon, right? Right. Just keep it out there, you know. You know, it's still under investigation. But just imagine one day, like, someone had to create all that. So one dude one day was just bored, like, dude, this would be so cool. And, like, how many times did he get dissed before he got to that point where someone was like, whatever, let's try. We don't have anything else on the schedule. Let's just see how this whole Star Wars things work
out. So if you watch Netflix, they actually talk about it. And he was one of the, on the second day of opening of Disneyland, he actually went there. And that's what inspired him as a kid to come up with some of these concepts. So he came up with his own, if you will, King Arthur thing. And that's where Star Wars actually came from.
Damn, man. And like, it's full circle now, because now Disney owns Star Wars.
Exactly. So, and if you think around that time, too, I was a little kid running around, and, you know, we had bubblegum cards, you know, from the ice cream guy and everything. They had little grab bags that you would buy for a buck, and had a whole bunch of different gift cards and weird cards in there, you know, for Jaws, Star Wars, all the big moneymakers of the time, man. We just go nuts for that ape shit, crazy. But you know what? When Jaws came out, I lived in San Diego. And we would go down over to the beaches, you know. And I'd tell you what, man, piss in the ocean more than once.
Oh, man. I remember. Okay, so speaking of movies, you said Jaws, right? Because that, like, put the fear in you.
Yeah.
For me, when I was a kid, it was Chucky.
Oh, yeah.
Child's Play. Like, I kid you not, I used to have toys and everything. And then the idea that, you know, one of my toys could be possessed.
Next thing you know, you're burning them out back.
You know, seriously. I stopped having toys out there. And I'll take it a step further and see if you guys know this one, Puppet Master.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. That was even,
that was
like,
a shit.
Yeah, and it had that creepy music. I mean, because Chucky was, like, one scary doll, but you can kind of point that out. But Puppet Master is, like, these little, like, they're almost like a little bit bigger figurines, but
they were about 6-inch tall dolls. Yeah, they're like puppeteer dolls.
They can get to a little more tight spaces. So you got to look under your tables and stuff, because Chucky's like a big one, right? You can't miss that 2-foot doll, but you know, Puppet Master, little man.
Now imagine Teddy Ruxpin.
I had one of those.
Oh my god!
And you could put a cassette tape.
Yeah, so you're playing,
and he would talk.
Putting Black Sabbath in there.
Oh,
yes,
yeah. That was freaky as shit.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And the thing about the Child's Play is that my brother, he was just learning how to walk at the time, and I had just seen that movie at a friend's pad. And so I come home, and I'm like a fucking sleep on the floor, and here comes fucking my brother, like, pushes the door open, and he's just fucking walking like this. And they, like, they just happen to have him in, like, fucking overalls. I was like,
oh, my God. It's happening. It's based on a true story.
So you guys worried about that? I grew up in El Cajon watching freaking Friday the 13th when it first came out.
Oh, shit.
Oh, my God. As a little kid watching Friday the 13th, man.
But here's the thing about Friday the 13th is and this was what's always mind-boggling me about that. He's very slow. I've never seen Jason Voorhees like jog or anything. Michael Myers was like, I always felt like, look, you guys are doing the wrong thing. Just keep him in the distance and just keep, just, you know, small pace.
Yeah.
You're good. You're good. Well, you never have to worry about him. He can't run. He's just really slow, so, you know.
Well, but Kevin Bacon did the wrong thing sleeping in that bed, man. He got that arrow through the neck.
That's why I love that commercial that they made with the fucking, was it the insurance company? And then they were like, oh, no, let's go hide behind the chainsaws. Yeah. And he's just standing there like.
But it's so true, right?
Yeah.
Why don't we just get in the running car? Don't be stupid.
I haven't seen that one, but that's how I feel when I watch those movies. It's like, dude. Why don't you grab the gun and the flame torch and just hide in like at the corner and just wait there? And like, no, I got an idea. There's like this little cubby hole in the house under all these wooden plaques, and right above it's like a bunch of axes. That's the best place to hide. Or
and then you got someone in the fucking theater going, "He behind the door, goddammit! He behind the door!
He behind the door!" Or let's go into the attic. That way there's no escape route, and we're just trapped up there. Yeah. That is the best idea I got right now.
Well, the first thing I got to do, I got to take off all my clothes and be in my bra and panties. All right. That's the first call. Let's do it.
Oh, man.
Wasn't that I Know What You Did Last Summer?
Oh, God, yeah.
I don't remember that one.
That's when I learned about who Jennifer Love Hewitt was. Yeah. I think that's when everybody learned who Jennifer Love Hewitt was.
Oh, man, Party of Five. You guys don't go back to Party of Five?
Oh, no, I remember that. But what was it? Say Anything? It wasn't Say Anything. That was a fucking John Cusack movie. It was the other movie where that dance party going. Jennifer Love Hewitt. She was all wearing those tight dresses. God, what the hell movie was that?
Almost all of them.
Yeah.
I only remember her in one movie, and that's I Know What You Did Last Summer. I imagine she was in other movies, but that's all I got for her.
I'll look that up because that was an iconic movie at the time, and boy, she popped out of her dress a lot.
So while he's checking on that, Sadre, what you been doing? It's been a while since we.
It's been a long while, right? So I was doing my video thing and like interviews and like somewhat like this. So back in the day, which is 2 years ago at this point, I used to basically do something like this, but not on this level. That's why I'm like geeking out about your studio here, because it's like where my studio wanted to be. We just never quite got there. And then COVID happened, so it put everything on hold. But before that, I was doing my interview thing, going to different conventions. I was trying to get into doing more skits and sketches, kind of like that. But, my heart's in just conventions and just trying out new things. I think the first convention I went to that you were at was, I want to say, like, because I really like the horror conventions, because it's kind of like a nerd convention, but for people that just, like, are on an alternative scale of thinking, just, I mean, you got to think of it that there's something quite off about horror conventions, because it's about a convention about where people just get murdered and like die and violence and just grotesqueness. So like human centipedes, like really big at a horror convention. And
I thought you were talking about AVNs or something.
I've been to AVN, and I'm not going to lie, it is not as interesting as you think it would be.
I don't know. I'm kind of freaky. Oh.
No, it is Adult Con, AVN, I want to say XX. What is the other one? XXSBIZ. It sounds cool. It's one of those things that sounds really cool on paper, but it's just like, it's more awkward in person. It's like, this sounded great. Now I'm standing here, and you're standing here, and you're like kind of nude, and it's just like, this is seems so cool in my head. And now it's just like, what am
I supposed to do? Dude, did you just touch my elbow? What are you doing over there?
But what I tell you, the trade secret to AVNs, all those adult con shows, bring a woman. Women film stars love to see women.
Yeah.
Because that is like, they see dudes all the time, and dudes probably slide in their DMs 24/7, but if they see a woman, now they're engaged. They will go out and grab a woman and take a picture with them. If you're a dude, like, hey, can I get a picture? Oh, yeah, get in the back of that line.
Yeah.
That is a secret I've learned. So have a woman wingman if you want to go to an adult convention.
Yeah, I hear the same thing about strip clubs, too. A friend told me that.
Yeah. Have a female wingman, and they are all about it. Because, like, oh, shoot, we're both women. Well, I don't know the dynamics, but I'm assuming it's like, yeah, I see dudes all, like, 24/7. I see a woman is like a unicorn to them. So it's like, yeah. It's all good. But yeah, back to horror cons. Those are my thing. I love going to haunts. So that was like my focus. But COVID happened, right?
Then
like it's kind of strange because there was no conventions. They canceled Halloween.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
That was insane. So it just put like life on hold and just had me really just kind of like reevaluate everything. So it's been on hold since then, not gonna lie. I went to my first horror convention last week. Actually, I was just at Halloween Horror Nights. It feels like yesterday or the day before yesterday. So, yeah, I'm trying to get back into the groove of things. So I'm starting slow. I have nowhere I'm actually heading right now direction-wise. So I ain't got nothing new. I got a bunch of hopes and dreams. That's what I'm riding on right
you're
now.
You're here for direction-wise.
Exactly.
We like, love you here.
This is inspirational. I'm not going to lie. I look around, and I'm just like, damn, this is where I need to be at. So we have a competing podcast. So I'm be like, nah, don't forget that podcast. Check out my podcast. Or we'll just have one big podcast studio. We will rent out like a hotel in L.A. and just make it a hotel podcast. And it's every floor, different podcast.
Kind of like a hostel.
Exactly. Yeah.
That'll be awesome.
Hostel Studios.
Where'd you get herpes at?
You don't want to know. So that's where I'm at right now. So thank you for inviting me down. This is actually fun. Like I said, I used to do this every week, and then it got put on hold. Now I'm back to it. And I forgot how fun it really was. So yeah.
Yeah, man. Of course, it's good to have you. And then, yeah, no, like I get what you mean about the the COVID thing, it was like I was jamming in a couple bands, and they were getting ready to play out. I was drumming in a Spanish rock band, and like I had to catch up on like 2 years worth of material, and I did, and then I finally got like gig ready, and then they shut everything down. I was like, motherfucker.
They shut everything down. Because at first they're like kind of dancing around and like, you know, people are getting sick, but you know, maybe we'll have it, maybe we'll have it. And then everything with like everything that was big got canceled like 2 weeks before. Because they were trying to like play it out like, it can't be that bad. It can't be that bad. It'll get better. And like 2 weeks before, so I remember like, because I used to go to like 8 conventions a year, and they were all just canceling. They canceled Comic-Con, the biggest convention like in the world. They canceled. That's when you knew it was serious.
That's millions
right when they
of dollars
canceled that
the
one.
Drain.
Yeah, when they canceled that one, I was like, okay, any smaller convention, which is mostly all of them, is getting canceled.
Yeah.
Comic-Con said, you know, all those millions of dollars we pull in isn't worth it. And every convention that's smaller, because most of those are just like break even, they were just gonna cancel it. So it was crazy, and they're still canceling it now.
Yeah.
I had a convention I was going to go to in October that just got canceled 2 weeks ago. So there's
well,
still
for that Moo strain that's been going around.
Delta?
No, Moo.
Moo? Is there a new one?
Yeah. Oh, so man. Delta strain has been, you know,
it's
rampant.
Old now.
Yeah, it's
old news.
Now the Moo, they're worried that it's going to, you know, not have any vaccination implications or nothing. It's going to go past all that.
So we all vaccinated, right? I just want
to
confirm. Okay, cool.
Yeah, I got my shot.
I don't want to start talking politics. Okay, vaccine isn't even politics, but it is now, right?
Yeah.
I don't want to bring it up and you get an argument.
And it's weird how fucking people made it like that now. Like, because I bet you if this would have happened like 20 years ago, like it wouldn't have been politics. It would have been like everybody would fucking go get your shot and you're not going to get sick. Man, all right, cool. Crazy. Let's do this.
Could you imagine if they tried to introduce seat belts today? People would be like, no, what? You're trying to just restrict me, my cards? It's my cards, my rights, dog.
Well, that was the fight back then when they started doing it. It really was going on, and it was here in California. And I remember all the arguments on the news happening at that time.
Like, dude, I had a friend. He was in a car accident, right? And he wasn't wearing seatbelts, so he's fine. So obviously they're a joke, right? You don't need them.
Well, yeah and no. There's good points and bad points. It just depends on the collision.
It's just the point that, like, something that's so, like, it's not like restrictive. It's something like, you know, as like a concern. Like, look, people are dying in car accidents, so we built this thing to make it a little more safer. It's not like significant safer. It's a little more safer, right? Just drive safe. But you know, but people would be like, nah, man, I'm not doing it. I don't wear seatbelts. That's just my thing. It's just like insane.
Yeah. Hey, no glove, no love.
Right.
You know what? Everyone has a right to their own opinion. You know what?
Yeah.
If you get sick with COVID, then if you don't get your vaccination, don't go to the hospital.
Yeah.
Because you're gonna fuck it up for somebody else who has a vaccination and has real problems.
No, it's crazy. But, you know, I don't want to get too deep down this rabbit hole. But, yeah, COVID has been I want to say that out of everything that's happened, because so we're 2021 right now. So today is the I don't know what day this is actually going out, but today is the literal 20th anniversary. Well, I don't want to say anniversary, but 20th remembrance of 9/11. So before COVID, that was, like, the biggest event in my life, and before that it was the Northridge quake, because I actually lived near Northridge.
Oh shit.
We had to be out. The manager came in like, look, y'all can't live here, this building like literally might fall over, y'all gotta go. So like that was the biggest event, and then 9/11 happened, and like the world was not even just America, the world was stunned, and now we all like share this event. Like everywhere you go, people know about COVID, right? The Northridge quake probably just like, it was like, you know, centered in California and maybe like around the U.S. they could talk about it. But, you know, 9/11 hit a little bigger. But COVID is like worldwide. You can talk to somebody in Japan, freaking India, and we all know about that COVID. That's how serious this stuff is, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
Yeah. And it just it kind of makes you think like, OK, a worldwide fucking epidemic, like how the fuck is this? Like, because you get the conspiracy theorist people over here. Yeah. Oh, it's our government doing this, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, bitch, like, it's fucking all over the goddamn world. I'm like, I know those fuckers are good, but I'm like, I don't think they're that good. Holy shit. Seriously. Like,
this would be, like, the biggest conspiracy ever in history. Can you imagine, like, 200 countries working together? Like, there's too many people on planet Earth. We need to start getting rid of them. Yeah. I got this COVID idea. Seriously,
Dr.
let's
Evil
see it
at work again.
Have any of you guys seen Contagion?
Yes.
Yeah, have you? Yeah.
Yeah.
I watched that for the first time during COVID, and it's crazy because it's like a play-by-play of COVID. Yeah. Like, someone in 2011 basically wrote the entire script to this whole COVID conspiracy. Yeah. Like it is like
matted out.
Like if you watch it, so if you haven't seen it, I suggest you watch it. Like it's not a very exciting or great movie, but since you lived through COVID, mm-hmm. you can watch that and be like, damn.
It's a situational thing. Yeah, it's going to be played out in real-world politics and whatnot.
The, yeah. the first movie I threw on when the lockdown happened was Outbreak. Dustin Hoffman.
Those fucking monkeys.
Yeah, the wife was all like kind of like down because we were like, we can't go anywhere. I'm like, let's watch a movie. She's like, okay, pick one. I'm like, all right. And I put on Outbreak.
Oh, man.
And then she's like, why did you pick that? I'm like, because you see, it could be worse. At least they're not trying to bomb Whittier.
That's funny. That's a good one. That's good. I like that Outbreak. Now I watched Contagion and it made me kind of sad. Because it's kind of like, no joke, it's like a play by play script. And we were at the point where in the movie, like people were dying out. In the movie, it kind of gets worse than it was. Well, I don't know. I want to say we didn't have that bad, but you see it play out and we hadn't gotten to that step yet. I was like, damn. According to this movie, we're done for. It eventually gets better, but like the movie was like, I mean, obviously it's a hyperlized, fictionalized version of a virus, but you're just like, if you were watching it in real time, you're like, damn, is that what we got to look forward to? And we didn't get that far from it. Just go see it. You know what I'm talking about when you see it. It's crazy.
I'll check it out.
Get that purple drink down your throat.
Yeah.
On a separate note, we found that movie I was talking about.
Oh, Can't Hardly Wait.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I see. I remember that.
Wearing tight dresses in that whole
so
movie.
So this movie was weird to me because I do remember this movie. And it has the Jamie Kennedy, right?
Yeah.
And that other chick. The main dude is like in love with this girl, right?
Right.
And he doesn't know how to approach her. So he just writes her a really good note. And she falls in love. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like so much that she kisses him at the end of the movie. Never met the guy, didn't even know his name. But he wrote such a just panty soaking note that she was just like, dude, this is it.
Well, Jenna Elfman liked it, and she was dressed as a stripper in a angel outfit, so she looked good back then too. You can take my stock on that, Jenna.
I like this. I like the when they did it in fucking Not Another Teen Movie.
Oh yeah.
The fucking slow walk down. Yeah. The, we can't start moving again until she starts walking.
Can't fight this feeling anymore. All that piano music playing. I watch too many fucking movies.
Yeah, they're a staple of life, man. Could you imagine what you could do if you didn't watch movies and then like.
Yeah, I'd be beating off a lot more, I'll tell you that.
That was a would you rather question from one of our past game days. It was would you rather never be able to watch movies again or never be able to listen to music again? And they're like, oh, what about the music in the movies? They're like, okay, when you watch them, you don't hear any music.
That's some bullshit. Right there.
I'm being an asshole and asking.
Nah, I'm okay with not movies. Like music, there's something different about music where you can just... First, you can watch or listen to it while driving, but just, I don't know, it hits you on a different level than a movie is because a movie takes up too much energy. Because like, you got to watch what's happening, understand what's happening, and then just try to come to a conclusion or like there's some politics. Music is just like a song about, you know, shaking ass or piano music or I don't know. it's a lot just simpler, a lot more. You can dance. You can't dance to a movie. You can dance to some music. So.
That's but you know what? Yeah. You can listen to music while you're taking a shit, but if you're watching a movie, the wife's over your shoulder. What are they saying? What is this about? Why are they doing that? Shut the fuck up and watch the movie!
Like you said that so smoothly, like you've had that situation.
Did I say? Yeah, I said that. I said, beep.
Like you've been holding that in for so long. Like, all right, I finally got a time. I can say this story.
Yeah, I got to get that Cleveland steamer off my chest, man. I got to lay it out there.
Well, she didn't want to see it. She shouldn't have come in the living room when I was taking a shit. That's really on her.
Now I'm lost. What happened in this scene? We literally watched this the other night in this other movie. Why can't you remember any of the Marvel fucking Captain Americas?
So y'all seen that new? Speaking of Captain America, y'all seen the new? So the name's so bad, I don't want to say it because I'm gonna say it wrong.
Okay. Give me a hint. I'll help you out.
It's gonna make me sound racist. Ching. Is it Shang?
Shang-Chi?
Is it Shang-Chi?
I've seen the trailers. It looks dope. Okay. I haven't had a chance to sit down and watch it, but I do want to see it. It looks really fucking bad.
Do you? Okay. What do you think? I haven't seen it either.
Yeah, it looks good. Shang-Chi, The Legend of the Ten Rings, it looks really good. I mean, it's going off the same moniker of when Marvel did Iron Fist, right? And then he's going into the, you know, the otherworldly, you know, powers that he has with the Ten Rings.
Okay.
I like it. I like it because it's more like Kung Fu Theater to me.
Okay.
That's what I grew up watching.
Oh man, that was one of the things I used to nerd out a lot fucking watching kung fu flicks. And
I used to love watching my dad.
And then like when the 36 Chambers album dropped and like the first thing that you hear was a sample from Wu-Tang versus Shaolin, the first one. And then I'm like, oh shit. And then throughout, they ran through Mystery of Chess Boxing.
Yeah, I feel
it. And then they get Five Deadly Venoms in there.
Yep.
Because
I hit it from a different direction. I heard the music first, and I heard the samples, but I didn't quite get it. And then, like, one day I was just going back and just watching some old movies, and you see, and like, oh, and then you make that connection.
Yep.
Like, I get it now.
And they
like,
grew up watching all that stuff, and that's where a lot of their, you know, all the music and sampling came from that stuff.
Yeah, and it's so cool to like, because for me it's cool because like, you hear the sample and you're like, where did that come from? Yeah. But you kind of like play it off, and then one day you see it in the movie. My favorite sample, and this is just so random, but there's a sample in Method Man's To Cal, where they're like you hear some dudes fighting in the background, and apparently like they like had like this crescendo of music where it's like going to this like a hyper point, but you can't see what's going on, right? Because it's just music. Well, in the movie, he busts out a sword, and it's like in the shape of a woman. Like, it's like a little sculpture of a woman. So it's like, and like, I've been waiting for this moment. Like, oh, I've been hearing us on Method Man, so you can hear that music. And like, he must have pulled out something like crazy. And the sword is like in a, just like a small, like almost like Emmy looking Oscar statue, a gold statue of a woman. You're like, what? That's crazy. I don't even remember the fight went after that. I was just so like mind blown that someone was like, dude, so what is he going to pull out his sack? It's going to be a woman. Not a sword. Not a samurai sword. Not a chainsaw. A golden woman statue.
Now, what if instead of the Kung Fu theaters that they were watching, what if it was Droopy the dog? Oh, well, let's see.
That would have changed music in a different way for sure.
That whole Wu-Tang Clan ain't nothing to fuck would be very different if there was like Droopy Dog in the background and Tom and Jerry just like, wait, what is
this? Yeah. And so out of the kung fu flicks, that like the ones that they had used in their samples and stuff, which flick was your favorite?
You like which movie?
Yeah.
I liked. I've only seen them in passing. I couldn't even tell you which one was which.
All right. Just in kung fu flicks in general.
So the only place I would catch this is when we first got a digital TV. Whatever reason, we got all these random Asian channels on a digital channel thing, and we could just go to them. And I couldn't tell you what movie was ever on, but you go to it, it just be. It seemed like every like 5 or 10 minutes, it'd be a different sketch from like a Wu-Tang or different sample from a Wu-Tang sketch. And it would just be, and then it would just start fighting. So I don't have any idea what any of the movies is, the themes. I mean, I know they're all like kind of like in par with the names of the Wu-Tang songs, but I couldn't pick them out from one different from the other.
The one, I think, because I've seen it like a ton, but the ones that like stood out to me were Wu-Tang versus Shaolin. That first one is the way it starts out all crazy.
Is that the water technique? Let's see you try the water technique.
That was that was off of, I think, Hell's Windstaff or Five Deadly Venoms or either. I think it's one of those two. I'm happy to go back and watch them. I fucking love those things. The other favorite was The Mystery of Chess Boxing, like where he's like fucking looking for a teacher, and like Sam Seed is in it. He's been in like almost all those fucking movies. And like he's like pretending like he doesn't know kung fu at all, and so then he's like, he tries to steal food from him, and he's like, if you steal one grain of rice, I'll let you have this whole bowl. And so, like, then you see him try to get it, and then, like, all of a sudden the old man starts flipping around like fucking Yoda with the, in the lightsaber scene, and I was like, wow.
So there's a new show right now. Okay, it's probably not new. I'm kind of, I catch up to things old, but I want to say it's called Warrior. It's on HBO Max.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen the previews for that.
It's basically like, it's almost like a Bruce Lee story. Rest in peace. It's on HBO Max. It's not exactly like what you're describing, but it's like basically if Bruce Lee went to San Francisco in like the 60s, 70s, around that time. Probably way before that. Probably closer to 40s. Anyway, check it out. It's pretty hot. They got some fighting. It's not that much, but it's like following what kind of like, it's a little mix of like, a period piece mixed with like kung fu. It's tight. I can't think of any actor in it. I'm bad with actors' names, but Bruce Lee's, I want to say, daughter is like an executive producer, or maybe his granddaughter. There you go, Warrior, right there. This is a hot show. I'm feeling it. And I think they're on at least two seasons. and what I like about this the most is they have these slang. So you see John Chinaman.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically saying like John Doe, but instead of John Doe, it's John Chinaman. They just call them all Chinaman. The Chinese people all refer to each other as onions. It's like just like scrub. Like they invented this slang. So it's a hot show. Check it out. Uh-huh. Warrior, HBO Max. If you can get a free week just to like binge that show, it's definitely well worth it. Did you guys see the Snyder Cut? Speaking of HBO Max,
yeah.
No, I've not seen that yet.
You haven't seen it? What do you think?
It was interesting.
Interesting, interesting, good, interesting, bad.
Interesting, good. Interesting, good. I was like, okay. I didn't think I was gonna like it. I'm like, all right.
Do you think it's worth it? Do you think HBO Max, it was a good investment to say, hey, because this was during COVID, we're locked down, we're not making no movies. Movie theaters are closed. No one's going out. We should invest $300 million.
So, yeah, something like that. Like, yeah, some ridiculous fucking amount.
A lot of money to remake a movie that we already released 2 years ago that was kind of like shunned. Do you think it was a good investment?
I think they rolled the dice and it worked out for them for the most part. Like, mm-hmm. I hadn't heard too many other people talking about it, but like the people that I did hear talk about it, they were like, it was fucking so worth it. It was great. I think
it was a night and day difference. And to be honest, I wasn't that against the first Justice League movie. I didn't think it was the best thing in the world. The Mike Whedon version or Marshall Mike. What's that dude's first name? Josh Whedon version. I didn't think it was that bad. But when they came out with this new version, I was like, damn, that was way. Why did they even give it? I mean, I do know why they gave it to Josh Whedon. Because
the first one, they just left a lot of open doors. They did not talk about a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
You had to really be inside of comics to understand what led to what to get them to that point.
And that's bad. You shouldn't have homework to do before you go see a movie. So yes, it's like, exactly. Yeah.
So what he should have done is he should have made it a sequel. He should have had a first movie explaining things. Go into the
exactly,
movie,
yeah. And then even in there are some scenes in Joss Whedon's movie where it just like some stuff would happen in the background.
Yeah.
I'm about to get specific because I'm a nerd, but specifically, Steppenwolf got the so there, he's like trying to find these three boxes, right? Yeah. He got the third box off screen. You don't even see it happen. They just basically point in a direction like, oh, it looks like Steppenwolf has got that last goal he was supposed to reach. We're in this new cut. They have a whole sequence attached to it,
yeah.
So it's like the differences are like it's night and day. It's like almost
a plot movie where it's a B movie. You know, oh my god, here comes a monster!
Exactly, a monster. Yeah, that's exactly how it was, and it was like
like fucking Cloverfield.
Yeah,
I have never seen that movie.
That movie pissed me the fuck off because like they didn't show shit. I'm like, what the fuck was it? And then you just see a little bit of something walking away at the very end. I'm like, what the fuck?
Wasted my money on this?
That one in the fucking Blair Witch Project, yeah. You never see anything, and it's just like them fucking sitting there sniveling. I'm like,
I was never a fan of found footage, so those movies always kind of bug me. It's like, why would you guys just keep? Why don't you leave or run or just be out? Like, I would have dropped that. Like, if it was me in a found footage movie, it'd be me. I would have dropped the camera. You see the camera hit the ground, and then you see me in the background just running. smashing a window to a car and hopping in there, I'd be out. Yeah, it's crazy. And then somebody else picks up the camera, like, no, leave the camera. Who cares a fuck about the camera? Let's be out. But we're in that now TikTok, Instagram age, so I guess everyone would have done that now. But
I wonder if they'll try to, because of like the TikTok era, like, and like in the IG era, I wonder if they'll try to remake that or reboot that fucking movie.
Is the movie that bad? I've never seen it. I heard. Oh, everything. Is it really?
Yeah. Okay. You just...
they do grainy shots on purpose, and okay. They're out in the woods just walking around and acting and talking through a third person view. It's just like, come on, seriously? There's gotta have some action in this thing.
I mean, I like when they made fun of it. Like, it was a scary movie, and like, yeah. She's crying. They had that big, huge fucking snot like they coming down.
So I know more about the Blair Witch through parodies than I do actually the Blair Witch. There's a sketch. I don't know why I remember this, but there's a MTV award show. So they did a parody of the Blair Witch, and it was Method Man, Chris Rock, and some female. I can't think of her name, but that was, she was funny. Like, they went out to the middle of the forest, Blair Witch wise, and she was like, oh, hey, Method Man, can you give me my protein bar? And she was like, I ate that shit an hour ago. And she just goes off on him. And he was like, the shit was nasty anyway. And Chris Rock walks up, like, dude, it must have been cramps.
Yeah, there we go.
It's this exact sketch.
That's better than the Blair Witch Project right there.
Yeah.
That is amazing. Man, the internet is so great. Shit that you just remember the back of your head, like little like the segments of thoughts, you can go find it. Yeah. It's like nostalgia right there. Oh yeah. Man.
Those, like, I like doing that. I'll look for those old Celebrity Jeopardy like clips from SNL or like the company's computer guy. Yeah. Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Oh man, thank you for pulling that out. You brought me back to like the mid 90s or something.
Yeah, yeah, I remember. I actually do remember that. That was funny as hell.
Besides the movies, like, what are some of the other things you remember nerding out like back in the day? Like
again, Transformers.
100%.
God, yeah. High five, man.
100%.
Fuck yeah.
I want to even go as far as say I think I drew a tear when Optimus Prime died in the movie.
I did.
Okay, quick. Well, let's make sure we all emotional.
No.
Our emotions here. Yeah.
You ain't no man if you haven't cried when Optimus Prime died. All right.
And it was just like, oh, why'd I get to kill Optimus, man? And then, like, it is so bad, too. He dies, and you see, like, the heart monitor, like, just go flat. And then he turns gray.
Yeah.
And, like, the dust. It's like, damn, they couldn't have made that any worse. Like, not like maybe he's dead. Kind of he's dead. Nah, yeah. he turned to dust.
You know, I saw that in theaters when it first came out. Yeah. And I cried. I was like, oh, God
and
damn it.
And it's crazy because the kid in the movie, not in Buzz.
What are you talking about?
The little kid.
He
like cries and he grabs it. He felt just like that. He's like, oh man. It's like, it was like that scene in Lion King where you're like, your heart just crushes in that moment. And he's like,
we just talked about that the other day. I had this fucking, the other show. I had this fucking asshole cat that the wife had, and he like jumped from the back of the fucking chair and tried to jump on the counter in front of me. He didn't make it all the way, and he's like, I fucking grabbed his paws, and like, I held him, and he thought he was safe. I'm like, long live the king, and I fucking let go. He fucking falls.
Oh, that's crazy. Long live the king. Oh, man.
Yeah, Transformers, fucking Thundercats, He-Man.
Thundercats is my shit. Man.
Voltron.
I had the Cat Slayer.
I was never that. I watched those Voltron videos, but when I look back at them, they were trash.
Were they?
They were trash.
I loved them.
It's one of those things where you remember it. You have it so great in your memory, so you go back to it one day, and it's like, oh, I used to love this. And you watch it, you're like, what?
All right, guys. Transor Z. You know nothing about that. I know that for a fact.
I know.
So before, when anime was starting to be prolific, coming out of Japan, Transor Z came over to the States, you know, Godzilla, all that stuff. But this movie was a guy had a spaceship that went onto a mecha bot and went right on the crown of the head. And then he operated this huge mecha, you know, suit.
Huh.
That was a shit. Speed Racer.
I remember Speed Racer.
I'm all good on that one. I love that one.
So speaking of those, I'm kind of curious. So you had Transformers, you had Speed Racers, you had He-Man. Which one of those? Because they've all been remade now these days.
Yeah.
There's even like a Thundercats. I think there's two Thundercats.
No Thundercats.
No Thundercats.
No remake? Thundercats.
Really?
Still waiting for the live action on that.
Oh god! And I've been trying to write scripts on my own. I got Vin Diesel in there. I got a whole bunch of other fucking actors. I'm looking for the Chitara one where we get the thong and we see the butter clip down below. If you know
what's
what I'm talking
the name?
About.
Yeah. Fucking Peg Bundy.
Maybe.
but which one holds up, or like, do you think like, okay, I can see it like the live action. They did some justice to it.
Okay.
Because I think Speed Racer is one of the best movies ever made.
Okay.
Live action wise.
All right. Speed Racer is shit.
Really? The movie?
Let me finish. It is shit. Because of the character acting, you know, not the actors, but, you know, the screenplay and everything else. Let's get past that. The movie itself, excellent. I love the way they played it out and everything. I think they overdid it with the racing and the sequences they did with it.
I think they could have went a little further. I wish they would have had more races, because they basically invented car foo, right?
Yes.
And they you see it in like Speed Racer, and it's kind of like, what are they going to really do with this? It's going to be a bunch of car scenes. We're just racing around. Nah, they turned it into like a fighting movie with cars.
Yeah.
I thought that shit was amazing.
I think they did a good job with that, but they went over the edge when they did the inside track and everything else. If they would have kept it on the land races like they did in the end, I think that would have been better. But that's just my thought, you know.
I think it's amazing. I think the acting was on point to help move the movie along.
Right.
I don't know. The whole thing to me, I think if you had to had me list my top 10 movies, I would definitely put that up there, because everything worked out the way, like, I, because you have this kind of like obscure Japanese cartoon and just kind of like, it's kind of silly. They had a lot of liberty to what they could do with it and where it could have gone. And I think everything was on point. I will say some scenes aren't the best, but if I had to average them all out, that movie is just flat. Like, they took this concept of racing is like the most important thing in this world, and they made it believable. You can actually feel like that word exists. I like that movie.
I don't know. I think John Goodman was the best in there.
Yes.
I like the kid and the chimp. That was good.
Yeah, they all worked out.
Don't forget Susan Sarandon. She looked hot. She looked like a girl.
Oh, yeah. She did. Like, they made that, I don't know, they did justice to Speed Racer.
So another movie that sticks out in my head, and we're going to go in the Transformer franchise, the only one that I think was really prolific and done well was the Bumblebee movie.
Really? See, I'm going to disagree with you. Okay, look, I'm not disagreeing with the Bumblebee movie. I think the intro, like the first 10 minutes of the Bumblebee movie, was like on par, because they did what none of the other movies did, would like show this realistic, not realistic, okay, let me throw that way.
Right.
This vision of a Cybertron that was just like the Cybertron you saw in a cartoon, they made that real, so to speak. Like, this is how I envisioned it, and that's worked out. I thought the rest of the movie was trash.
Oh, you know what? But you know what? When they brought him down as a Volkswagen, it was more believable than when they did when they first went into Transformers. He was a Camaro. They had to go back to another movie to actually show the showcase of when he got to, you know, interact with humans.
That's it. I still think they went with
that. But I understand where you're coming from. It makes sense.
But I will say, like, the first Transformers movies, the Michael Bay one, I went in just thinking, what the hell are they going to do? And I thought he brought it. People hate on Michael Bay. I honestly thought he managed to bring it, the very first movie. Like, he took this, because if you see the first movie, you see how kind of loose the actual cartoon was. Like, there's these robots, they go to Earth, and then they're looking for Energon, and there's this all spark thing, and then the matrix of leadership, and like, all those concepts sounds great when you're a kid, but when you look at it as an adult, it's like, okay, that's not really a story. It's just a bunch of MacGuffins and like this magic thing here, this magic thing there. So Michael Bay managed to make it work out where what would it be like if Transformers actually got to Earth? So he involved the military. Like, the military would probably try to take it over. Like, in the Transformers cartoon, basically, the Transformers are the military. They don't seem to exist in that world.
Well, I mean, they were on Earth for millions of years, you know, prior to human existence. So, yeah. I mean, that was the whole basis of it.
Yeah.
So I understand where Michael Bay was coming from, but they could have, you know, still targeted more of the backlog, you know, going Bumblebee being the, you know, Volkswagen and, you know, going with that venue. But they decided not to. And that's what pissed off a lot of people because they remember the, you know, the past.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the best one was when they brought the dinosaurs, you know. They brought in...
Oh, man.
Oh, God, man. I love that.
The Dinobots.
I love the Dinobots, too, but that just doesn't work out to me.
Oh, no, I love that. I mean, just because you see fucking Grimlock and everybody else, that was my shit.
I wanted to like that movie, so I thought it was so bad. I can't remember. Is that the one with... Mark Wahlberg, or is it still...
No, it was before Wahlberg.
Is it Wahlberg's?
Yeah, it was before him. I don't think Shia LaBeouf was in that one.
Wahlberg is in one, at least one with the fucking Dinobots in it.
Was that the one?
I honestly don't. I thought it was the
one where like the fucking... They had that fucking sword. They were like the fucking knights. Like the fucking...
That doesn't even... I don't even remember like, it at fucking, all.
Like the last night or something like that, or some prime, or I don't know, some shit like, but they put out so fucking many of them, it's hard to keep up. Like,
get them mixed.
Yeah.
It's like, damn, bitch, they're fucking movies, not comic books. Holy fuck.
Hey, so
Age of Extinction, 2014.
What I realize is even if these movies are bad, they make enough money that the studio's like, oh, go ahead, make another one. They don't give a fuck. Yeah. They're like, shit, that made us like $1 million. $100 million. Go make another one. If it's bad, who gives a fuck? As long as it makes $100 million, they're going to keep coming out with them.
For me, the movies that I think had the staying power that got turned from cartoons into, you know, live action movies were the fucking Ninja Turtle movies. Like,
really? I haven't seen any
those
of
those two that drop in the 90s, like with the tech
that
they had.
Oh, I thought you meant the Michael Bay's. Okay.
No. Those two are. I thought I wasn't going to like them just because I'm like, nah, they're going to fuck him up. But he didn't. And like they were able to pull off the shit they were trying to pull off in the like the 90s, but like they didn't really have the tech to do it. But the suits, like I mean, come on, like those shits look fucking badass, and the way those fucking actors were able to like fucking do all that bullshit in them, like just like doing some martial arts like in my spare time, like I know like how difficult some of that shit is to do, so to do it in that whole ass costume, I'm like, oh fuck.
I forgot those existed. But when I think about it, I remember like really enjoying them then. And if I watched it now, I feel like I wouldn't enjoy it as much, but still give them props for what they did. Because you got to think nowadays, like they did a Transformer, it was 100% CG because there was no way they would have been able to do it then. But they managed to actually do the whole thing in actual fucking. These aren't small suits. They were like 6 foot tall, giant, more or less robot suits. And they managed to pull off three movies, right? Yep. I mean, the third one was trash, but...
Yeah, it was bad. The second one, we're fucking... They're on stage with Vanilla Ice at the end. Go, Ninja! Go, Ninja!
Go!
Ninja! Yeah, and you were right. It was Mark Wahlberg in that Age of Extinction. Yeah, and the Dinobots were introduced in that one.
Oh, man. I don't know how... Because I know that the Dinobots were in more than one, or at least made appearances in more than one. I never kept up with it. Like, the Fast and the Furious franchise, I saw the first two, and then
the
after
Dinobots
that...
The Dinobots were in that one?
They transformed from rickshaws.
There's a deep rumor that there's going to be a Fast and the Furious / Transformers crossover.
Really?
It's one of those meme things that's on the internet.
I hope it's not true.
I mean, I mean, look, we're at the point where Fast and the Furious isn't even, like I said, Transformers or Fast and the Furious isn't about the story, isn't about how these people, it's just about the money.
It's going to be Fast and the Furious in wheelchairs.
Exactly. I watched that, though. That would be a great one.
I'm going to beat you, son of a bitch.
And they just keep, Fast and the Furious, Expendables, Transformers. I'm trying to think what other movies. Some other movies they just keep making. And they're not good, but they have an audience that's going to go see them every... Resident Evil was another one.
Oh, yeah, that just got worse and worse and worse.
Like, the first Resident Evil was fire, I think, anyway. Everyone after that was... How many is there? Like, 7 Resident Evil movies?
Something like that.
It's like
but fucking... they must do them, like, the studio justice, because they just keep coming out with them, and like people keep going seeing them.
It's because they keep making the game, like... like new installments of the game keep coming in. And I think that's what was really like fueling. I think that's what fueled that one, was just because so many people had already played the game, and you had like this huge fan base of like millions and millions of people.
Well, that's the only reason why Silent Hill came out.
Right.
The first movie was.
It was aight.
I liked it, but I definitely felt like it had been a lot better.
You felt that thrill, right?
And yeah.
If you watched
the
first one, you got that thrill. The second one is like,
I fell asleep during the second one.
You know what really fucking sucks and what really pisses me off is when you fucking love a game and they do a fucking shitty job at doing a fucking movie of it. Street Fighter. I love Street Fighter.
No. Don't you ever fucking do that and talk about Street Fighter. All right? Because what's his face? God damn it. How come
Gomez fucking Adams Raul Julia was fucking.
He died shortly after, and he created that character. He went into that movie for his son.
Fucking Bison?
Yes. He did it for his son because his son loved
And fucking Van Damme was in there too.
Okay, I'll give you that much. That was pretty shitty. But you know what? Do not fuck Raul Julia on that. That movie was shit, but he was the shit.
That's what I was like, was pissed. Like, I'm like, they did such a shitty job on the fucking movie, and I love the fuck out of that game.
Yeah.
And then
let's go back in the past. Do you remember the game? Do you actually remember the game? Do you remember the first inception of Street Fighter?
I never played Street Fighter 1. I've only seen it in
So what do you remember on the first inception of Street Fighter?
I remember Street Fighter 2.
That I wasted a lot of fucking quarters and time sitting at that goddamn machine.
When you played the arcade, what was it like? What was the arcade machine like?
Slow.
I kept going, having to go to the back of the line. I wasn't really good.
Are you talking about the 6-button arcade? Yeah. I'm talking about the 2-button pounding.
The Street Fighter 1.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my God, man. I twisted a wrist more than once on that thing. And I thought I was jerking off a lot.
Nah, man. Street Fighter. That's...
But they had some redemption. Their Machinima released a live-action Street Fighter movie. Mm. It was called Street Fighter Assassin's Fist. It was supposed to be the origin story of Ken and Ryu.
Right. And are you talking about the cartoon?
No, live-action.
Oh, there was a live-action?
Mm-hmm.
I love the cartoons.
The cartoons are good.
The cartoon was cool. Street Fighter V, what do you think it's called?
Yeah.
And then there was the anime. That one did it justice.
Right.
And even some of the games, like the cut scenes and the cutaways, like I think it was Street Fighter 4 has like it looks like the anime, like where you're watching like the cut scenes from like as you travel like to the fights, and then afterwards too. Those were always funny. Those made me laugh in the original Street Fighter 2 game where you get all the way past.
You can tell they didn't have much thought put into it. Like, when you look back and like they just put this game together and like, oh shit, now we got to put a story to this shit. I guess this boxer guy wins and he spends all his money and goes to bridge. It's like, what the fuck else?
One that fucking all was like, this is lame, because I always played as Ryu, and the first time I fucking went all the way through, and like I see he's like, he's just walking away, like going to look for another fight. I'm like, does that mean I get a fucking free play? Or?
You know what? What really sticks out in my head in the Street Fighter movie, the original 95, was Kyla Minogue.
Oh, she was Cammy.
Oh, Cammy. My God. That was such a perfect role for her.
Cammy.
That's why I watched the movie.
So this one was done really well because they have the tech from today. And so as they do those fireballs and then throw them, like you actually see like them like manifesting and then getting bigger. And then the actors paid a lot of attention to the in-game movement. And so like as they're fighting, you see like signature punches and kicks that only those two characters do. And then like signature like moves that only like Akuma and Gouken would do.
See, that's good, like, because Machinima is like a kind of like a in-home studio, but you have people that love material, so they're gonna do their best to represent it. And when they made the Street Fighter movie, they go hire people and they're just like, whatever, I just want you to do this. I'm just trying to make money, right?
Mm-hmm.
Machinima, they want to represent that they best they can, so yeah, they went all out. So that's good. I haven't seen it yet. I'm gonna actually peep it out probably. Well, I don't know if I can peep it. I remember Machinima closed and they like completely.
Yeah, it's all on YouTube, and like I'm sure like I think Prime has it. You probably find it on Hulu too. it got pretty popular, and so like, cause you know, like it was the street, like the Street Fighter like market, but then it's. Then all of a sudden I started seeing it on the streaming services and I'm like, oh shit. Okay. So like they must have done a lot better than they thought they were going to.
Okay.
But yeah, that's like, that was like one of the things that I nerded out hard on was like street video games too, was like GoldenEye consumed like an entire fucking summer. I didn't go outside. I didn't do shit other than like go do my chores and then right back on the fucking thing.
We used to have GoldenEye parties.
Oh fuck, and yeah.
We would actually have like a it was like a binder where we created like different like tag games, right? And we like wrote down the rules and this is how we supposed to play it. Like we was probably spent a good 4% of my life playing GoldenEye, no joke.
That was the shit.
I ain't gonna lie, I played that pretty good.
Because it would be like we would go to my friend's house. It'd be like 7 p.m. when we got there. We started playing GoldenEye. By the time we were done, the sun was rising.
Right.
That Mario Party was another big one, and Smash.
Yes.
Those three games probably took up a good, like, if I, in total, like 10% of my life was just spent thinking about them, playing them, or talking about them with my friends.
Yep.
Do you think kids have that liberty nowadays? Do they still do that?
Yes.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's Call of Duty.
Call of Duty. Because I know the kids, they do Minecraft. I never understood that.
Oh,
but that's
my
a
God.
Big
so
thing.
Boring.
It like... I know, Roblox is kind of like Minecraft.
Yeah,
that's horrible too.
That's actually in a stock market. There, yeah. You can. I have stock in Roblox, a video game. I know nothing about. I just know the kids play that, so it makes so much money. Like, they actually put it on a stock.
They make a shit
like,
ton of money.
My kid plays that all. My kid's playing that right now. Like, that's what he's fucking doing. Like, if he's not doing chores or some shit, I ask him to do. Like, he's in his fucking room on fucking either Minecraft or Roblox, like, talking all loud.
So you're saying I should buy more stock in Roblox, because that is, like, the future.
Yeah, that shit for my daughter. She was buying stuff, and next thing I know, I got a $100 bill charged. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
I ain't paying that.
That is amazing.
Yeah, and it's just, like, it looks like the shit we used to play back in the 8-bit graphic.
Yeah. I'm like, Atari. Why do I want to do that again?
I'm like, motherfucker, I just gave your cousin the fucking Nintendo because, like, you said you were going to use it, and now you're fucking playing a game that looks like goddamn Nintendo.
So, like, remember when Tron was remade?
Right.
Yeah.
The movie or the game?
The movie.
Okay.
Yeah, so the movie came out, the first movie came out, right? And then mm-hmm. the game came out, right? And then the second movie was done in 2000, what, 8, 9 or something
like
that? Yeah. So, yeah, Disneyland had their own section in California Land, where it was Tron, you know, in
Electronica. 80.
Oh my God. I was fucking nerding out at that. I was just going crazy. I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. I was like Jack the Pumpkin. Look at this. Look at this. You know, I'm running around like Homer Simpson and Donut, you know, in his donut dream.
And we was heartbreaking because I wanted to go to this so bad.
Oh, you should have went.
I loved the movie. I mean, the movie's not that great. The Neutron movie.
Right. The Neutron movie.
It's all right. But I love the sound. I like the aesthetics, the soundtrack. Yeah, yeah. I even have a Tron suit at home, kind of, that cost me way too much money. But I'm a fan. Like, I just everything about it. So I wanted to go to that. So when we had finally planned to go to it, it had just like closed that year. And I was like, you got to be. I thought it was going to be like a permanent staple of Disneyland, and they closed it. I was like, you got to be kidding me. Yeah, it was Electronica. It looked so badass.
Yeah, my kids were all nerding out with me. They saw how excited I was about that.
But yeah, that's my shit right there.
All right, guys. Well, we are coming up on our time for this set. I want to thank Dre for coming in and talking with us and nerding out with us and, you know, everything that went into the spectrum to the other. And definitely going to be posting up the links to check out all the stuff. Do yourself a favor and check it out. It's fucking awesome. We're hopefully going to have you back on next season.
I want to say one thing before you keep going. Yep. I came here. I said I loved everything about this. It's a great studio. Thanks for inviting me in. It really inspired me to kind of go back to what I was doing. But I have one disappointment. I was expecting some plates of rice or beans, and I didn't get either of those, dog.
Well, you missed breakfast. You should have been here earlier.
The one thing I was like, okay, rice and bean podcast, we have like a serving of, it's going to be like a mukbang where we each get our bowl of half rice, half beans. It's going to be like some specialty, and we can like eat it while we're like, oh, yeah, just, you know, scooping it in. But nah, let me down on that one thing. You got to change the name. I'm sorry. You got to retire the name today.
If we would have done that, all we would have heard from you is...
I thought that was the whole point, man. Nah, I'm sorry. But no, thank you for reminding me down. That's all I wanted to do. Thank you. This was actually a lot of fun. I'm not
lying. Great having you.
I was looking forward to this. I really got nervous. You know what I'm saying? Like, I put this shirt on. I had to, like, dress appropriately. Because I got a face for radio. So I had to figure out what I was going to wear. I put on my nerd Mario hat. They don't even match. Mario hat, Tales from the Crypt / Godfather mashup. But I just, like, he said nerdy. I got to bring it as much as I can. So, like, I was really looking forward to this. So thank you so much for bringing me down here.
Of course, man.
It was fun. It was fun. A lot of fun. Yeah.
Good, man. And we'll got to have you on again next season. We're probably going to, you know, this is the weekend that we had talked about that was the big recording weekend for us where we banged out all the episodes. I know this is airing later in the season, but, you know, it's been a really good time. And thank you again for coming in.
I didn't know you were going to say bang episodes. You know, I didn't even bring a condom.
You can catch me at... on the YouTubes, the Project GS. Honestly, like I said, I've been taking a break from everything creation wise, so I'm a content creator, whatever, hasn't created nothing, but, you know, keep some stole stuff there, and I'll get back to it one day. Maybe not. We'll see. But thank you. This was a lot of fun. Yeah.
All right, man. All right, guys. Well, until next week.
If a cunt smoked your last blunt, if work makes you feel like a jerk, if you need more humor in your life, just look to Rest in Peace. And absolutely.